All right, let's stand and turn to page 198. There's power in the blood. 198. For the folks that are here today, dear Lord, I'm thankful for everyone that's here. I pray that each one will get a blessing. I pray that you'll bless the hearts that follow. And I pray that we can take away something today that will help us in our service to thee, dear Lord. We give you the praise, honor, and all the glory in Christ's name. Amen. Page 208, Are You Washed in the Blood? This morning, help us with the building fund.
Wait, Marshall.
Julius to come up. We'll take the regular offering, the tithes and the offerings. I preach it. You welcome to play the harmonica and just anything you want to as we. Okay. You play whatever you like to do. Ask your blessing right quick, Brother Julius. Come at this time. He may play another song or two. Just never how the Lord leads him.
How many of y'all think I'll fly away without a book? Anybody? I know, but this might not be any key. Well, that's all right. You can do it. All right, let's sing out fly. Let's everybody stand. Hang out on this old number. I'll fly away. We'll stop right there. Tonight, Renee, I'm going to speak to you a while on no time to waste. You know, right now, we got no time to waste. I believe that before I finish this message, the trumpet could already be sound and we'd be going home. I'm looking forward. And I tell you what, I was at a store and talking to this young man, grocery store, talking to this young man with crutches and just little short legs, and I said something about the coming to the Lord, and the lady behind the counter, she really got happy over there, see. But anyway, this young man says, well, I ain't gonna rush it. I tell you what, I will. I'll rush it. I say, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. And that's what I say now, you know. Any time will be fine with me. Take your Bible and turn to 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter in the second verse, and we're going to read here for a minute. 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter and the 7th verse. By the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness, on the right hand and on the left. And then, see now, let me go here to 1 Corinthians 2 now. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 29. First Corinthians 2 and verse 29. No, I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 29. I'm sorry. 7 and verse 29. There ain't no 29 in that one, is it? I don't know how I wrote that down. Anyway, we're just going. Romans chapter 13, verse 11. It is high time to awake out of our sleep. And then verse 3 again, it said, the time is at hand. And then another place it says, this is a time. Now is the day of salvation. Tomorrow is not promised. And now is the accepted time. And so we need to be, we're not ready, if you're here today and you're not ready, you sure better get ready, because I'm going to tell you, we are living in the hour of his coming. And so old Felix, you know, he was had Paul in prison, and he wanted to listen to him, so he called for him and he brought him in, and Paul began to tell him about the Lord and began to preach, be ready. And he turned to Paul and said, Felix, he said, go thy way. I'll hear thee at a more convenient time. See, people, we go about continually saying, tomorrow I will do this or I'll do that. All of our goals and plans are on tomorrow. When the Bible says some say there is yet 3 months to harvest, but he said, look on the fields. Just look out there at the lost people. The time is now, see? And so, yeah, he said, they are all white and ready for harvest. The word says today is the day. Tomorrow's not promised. So tomorrow I start serving the Lord. Why not today, see? And so there's a lot of people that's putting it off. I'm reminded one night I just got home from military. I'd been in the Korean War, Virginia and I had just come back to Virginia. I was stationed in Fort Myles, Delaware. Come back to Virginia, and I went to work in the mill, and they didn't have a job I used to do, and so they gave me another job. And it was emptying a conveyor belt or a track that's coming out of the sewing room going into the shipping department. And so this night, this boy come driving up on a little dinky pulling a lot of big boxes. And so he come riding up there, and I don't know, Lord just said to me, go over and ask that man if he been saved. So I walked over to him, and I said, tell me, young man, do you know the Lord as your Savior? He said, man, don't you talk to me like that. Says, I'm young, says, I'm gonna sow my wild oats and live it up, and then come back and see me when I done got old. I turned around, walked on back to went to work. And that was on Friday night, and we were about to get off work. But Sunday night I had to go in on the third shift, and I went on in, and I was just getting ready to work, and this man come running down the hallway down and said, Mister, and I stopped and I said, what's wrong? He says, you know that young man you asked was he saved and he told you how much time he had? I said, yeah. He says, he didn't make it home. He missed the bridge in Roxborough and he went down in the water and drowned. So he died before he got home. I said, that's the how life is. We don't know how long we've got. We don't. So we need to be prepared at all times, you see, because tomorrow we are not promised, And so if we just get busy for the Lord, Romans 1:3, time is at hand. You see, we have plans for tomorrow. Coming on down here this morning, I believe it was, I said something. We went to see our daughter last Tuesday and got back Thursday. And coming on down here, and I said, tomorrow will be a good day to go up to maybe a meal. And she says, well, I don't know. I said, well, she said, my wife has been down with scoliosis in the top spine and in the bottom. And she's had a surgery on it, and she suffered mighty bad. So we just go according to her feelings. And so tomorrow, if it's pretty and she feels good, not hurting too bad, we might get to go. Otherwise, it's up to her. All right, then. But I don't pastor no more, and I don't. But my job now is to write tracts and to do personal soul winning, and so I can stay busy all the time doing that. I get out somewhere to a flea market or a yard sale or anything, and I start to. Just like that little track I gave y'all, I hand them out to them, and then I says, now, have you ever been saved? Some of them will, some won't. And so sometimes they'll accept the Lord right there, and sometimes they don't. But the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 7:29, the time is short. The time is now. If we are going to do anything for God, we better get busy. You say, well, today is, you see what I'm talking about? Today is tomorrow's yesterday. You know that app? Today is tomorrow's yesterday. So that's the way it goes. Now, now is accepted time. Now is the only time right now. Every one of us sitting here, nobody else. We can't promise we'll get in that car and leave you. Now is the only time we have. And that's the truth. So all we need to call on the Lord. Don't put him off. No, sir. And so then we go on down. We see this. Someday tomorrow I start serving the Lord and attending church. But you know, tomorrow never comes for them. After when they get there, when they get to tomorrow, then they'll start saying, I'll wait another day. Tomorrow's not promised. And so the rich man and his crops, you know, he tore down his barns and he built a new plant barn and he sat down and put his feet up saying, now soul, eat, drink, and be merry. Well, I have that stuff to live on for many years, but he didn't think about the Lord. And so death came and knocked on this door. Said, thy fool, this soul is required of thee. So you see, we need to do it today because this is the only time. And so if Lord remind me of somebody that I know is lost, this afternoon I would just take off and go see him. But you see, we'll put off things and we'll let that be to tomorrow. You see, now is the only time that we have. You sitting there in that seat, you don't know whether you're going to go any further or not, you see. You never know. See, that fella went down in the water. Oh, he had many years he's going to live and live it up, but he didn't even have one day, not even one day. So, and what we plan to do, we better do it fast because time is coming near, see. And then we need to tell the young people that they need to be getting right with God. So many. I remember one night we went to hear Brother Mays Jackson and this didn't happen right there at that service, but He told us about this young man. He worked out of town, and his mother come to every revival meeting every year when he went to this particular place. And every year the young man say, I'll get saved next year when Brother Mays come. So that time he heard Brother Mays was coming, and he told his mama, called up and told his mama, be home Friday. I'm going to the Friday night, going to the church, and I'm going to get saved. And she was just so happy. So she told Brother Mays, and Brother Mays, my son's coming home Friday. He's going to get saved all the week long. And then that day, she called up in the morning and said, Mama, I'm fixing to leave. I'm coming home. Going to church tonight, I'm going to get saved. But on the way home, he had a wreck and got killed. You see, we don't know. We don't know. And he had all of these days ahead of him that he could have gotten saved. But you know, people, they want to put off salvation to the very last minute. Some time ago, I was getting some work done on my car, and I was sitting at a table at a garage on Riverside. And this man come in, I've been knowing him, as he said, just a lad. And he sat down at that table, and he said to me, he says, Mr. Newton, he says, I'm dying of cancer. I said, well, you know, you need to get saved. Are you saved? He said, no, sir, but I'll know just the right time to do it. I'll know just the right time. He want to wait until the last minute, see, and then he's going to call on God. I said, Jeff, I said, you can't call on God just whenever you want to. I said, if God withdraws the Holy Spirit from you right now, I says, and don't never, the Spirit never speak to your heart again, you can't get saved. I said, you won't want me to get saved. I said, you got to go come while the Holy Spirit is leading you. You see, and so on. But he didn't do it, and so one day I heard that he died. And I don't know, I wonder if God ever give him another opportunity. People puts it off so long. And so this young man that told Brother Mays many times, every year, Brother Mays, I'm coming home. Next time I come home, I'll get saved. So I tell you right now, it's time is drawing near. You know it? Time is drawing near. And so we need to get things straightened out with the Lord. And let the Lord lead us and guide us and direct us, you see. I have been to many people's houses. But you know now, some time ago, it was before the Lord, I was still pastoring then, but I just got a cousin on my mind. This man, when me and him was growing, just a little bitty fellow, his daddy would take a pint of whiskey and stick it to him when he comes from town and let him have a big swallow of it. And so then it got to where every time he come home, the little boy would run up to him and holler, Daddy, Daddy. And his daddy would give him a swallow. And then the daddy died, and this little fella, he drank until his sister told me, I left from down there in 1950, but his sister told me, says, Billy drank until alcohol just burned his brain up. And I kept saying, well, they no use of me going to see him, tell myself. But one day God laid him on my heart. And I said, Lord, I said, he can't communicate with me. And he just kept right on. And I said, all right, Lord. I said, I can't do nothing, but I can go down there. So I said, I'm going down there. I'm going to that home. And I'm going to find Billy. And it's up to you to get him where he can communicate with me. So I prayed 3 or 4 days. And then wife and I went down to this home. And his sister, we took her with us. And when we went in the home, all the yard was full of people just like him. They just roaming around, didn't know where they're going and nothing, see. So Billy was just inside in the bed, asleep. She went down and got him and brought him up out. She said, well, he can't communicate with you. I said, well, you just let me. I said, you and Virginia go on the other side of the room. I hadn't seen Billy in 50 years now. And I pulled him up to me in the wheelchair. I said, Billy, I said, do you know anything about God? He looked at me. He said, yeah. I said, that's good. I said, that's good. I said, well, Tim did. Have you ever been saved, Billy? Now, this is true story. And I said, you've been saved? He said, well, I hope so. I said, no, Billy. I said, you don't want to go leave this world without knowing where you're going. And I said, I'm going to tell you how to be saved. And I told him. And then I said, now I'm going to pray for you. I want you to call on the Lord and ask him to forgive your sins and heal you. Now this is my wife and Tay telling the same thing. And so I got to praying. Billy got to sobbing. He was just he's almost in a boohoo. So when I got through, I just let him get himself together. And I said, Billy, I said, did you call on the Lord? He said, yes, I did. And he began to cry again. I said, did he save you? He said, yes, he did. I said, you know you saved, Billy? He said, yes, I do. I said, come on, go with me. I rolled him over. I said, now you tell your sister what happened to him. And he hadn't been talking for over 50 years. So I said, Billy, did you call on the Lord? He said, yes, I did. I said, did he save you? He said, yes, he did, told Hazel. About 6 months later, I was in Durham visiting in the hospital down there. And my wife and I told her, I said, I just got to go by see Billy today. So I went to Durham to Oxford, then went on out there at the outskirts of Oxford, and I went down there to the home, and I went down to Billy's room, and I shook him, woke him up, and he looked up at me, and he just grinned, and he propped himself up on his elbow in the bed, and I said, tell me something, Billy. I said, you still trusting the Lord? And he busted out to crying. Yes, I am. I said, you still trusting? He said, yes, I am. I said, that sounds good, Billy. 2 months later, I had his funeral. And then it was in a pretty good sized church in Henderson, his oldest sister's church. And they brought him down. So I guess you call it a eulogy, and I told them, I said, now y'all, that church was just about full of people. I said, now y'all here to hear about the community drunk. I said, well, he didn't die drunk. I said, Billy got saved probably been about 2 years. And I said, I checked on him 2 months ago, and he was still saved and still trusting in the Lord. And they said, they knew him all of his life. It would have seemed he was drunk. So I said, well, you just ask his sister over there after the service is over. Well, Billy got saved, gloriously saved, and today he's in heaven. be with the Lord, according to his testimony. But you know, God had to be in that. God had to open his vocal cords. God had to make it where he could talk again. God had to fix that breath, that brain, so he could think. And so we said, Hazel says, how in the world? I said, no, I didn't do nothing. I said, I prayed for him about 3-4 days before I come down here. I said, don't you go, I ain't done nothing. I said, that. I said, whatever was done, I said, the Lord done it. So today, don't tell me God can't save. The Bible says he can save to the utmost those that will come to him. And so Billy, he called on the Lord, and so the Lord saved him. And so that's my job now, is to go about and witness to people and tell them about the Lord and give them a track or whatever. But y'all pray for me. I had to give up pastoring after 36 years. I pastored 3 churches, but I thank God that he had another job for me to do. And so that's what I'm doing. And so pray that God will give me many. I'm fixing to write a track about the man in the mill that I want to come out of service, you know. And so I didn't, this year soldier, I didn't write that or nothing. But I don't know how long I've known that, but I didn't have it on paper, nothing. But I thought about it. I done it thrift store in Yancey, and I talked to a little girl working behind the counter, a little black girl. And I says, have you ever been saved? She said, yes, sir. I said, do you know how to win a soul, or tell a soul how to be saved? She said, no, sir. I said, well, that little track, I didn't always give it to her. I said, that little track, hold on to it. I said, and it'll tell you how to tell a person how to be saved. So now I'm fixing to put this John 3:16 and maybe another good verse like John 5:24. Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has right now everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. So today, I tell you, God is so good. And it was while he let one get saved, and I just praise his name for that. Well, I tell you, we need to be about the Father's business, because it's, time is moving fast, you see. Tomorrow is not coming. So, in conclusion, whatever you plan, better do them quickly. If you plan on doing something for the Lord, do you plan to send a card or appreciation or phone call? Better get it done. A lot of people put it off. Tell someone you love them. You know, I'm reminded of one time since I've been pastoring. I was coming out of one of the churches I pastored, and this woman said to me, I love you. And she's a very young woman. And I called her and told her, I said, I appreciate that. I said, but I realized then, I said, I had to go back and tell her. I said, for the Lord put me over there, because he's love. He's love. John, 1 John 4:8, I believe it is. It says, for God is love. And you know what? We ought to be feel free to tell any of our brothers and sisters in the Lord. We love them. We love them in the Lord. And so I do now. I tell people. And that same woman has come to the church I was pastoring. And so when I tell people all the time I love them, because that's God, see. We need to let them know that we love them. And it'd be more than just just the words. And put God first in your life and call someone this morning, this evening, and tell them about your plans. And just let them know that we need to be busy about the Lord's work. See, plan to draw closer to the Lord. Do it. Don't just plan to do it. What is our plan? Now is the accepted time. Tomorrow is not promised. Do you plan to get saved? If you're here today and you don't know the Lord's personal Savior, do you plan to get saved? Well, you might not have another chance. You know, you can't be saved when you want to. There was a man coming to church not too long ago, and I was still pastoring, and I tried my best to tell him. I went to see him one night, and he said, I ain't gonna get married until, and what he was, I won't tell you all about that. But he had his reason. I'm not gonna get married until such and such and such happen. And said, then I'll get married. I said, you may not get married. And so time went on, and now he ain't even come to church no more now. He ain't even bothering about the Lord anymore now. So you see, we have to do it when we have the opportunity to witness. We better do it. When we had the opportunity to lead someone to the Lord, stop everything and go do it. And tell that person before you leave, now look, I love you in the Lord, and I want you to know that I do anything for you. So may God bless you. Now is the accepted time. Do you plan to get saved here today, anybody? Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow's not promised. Now is the accepted time. So may God bless you, is my prayer. Brother Bill.